Happiness, happiness, from the head in bigness.
We'll thank the stars that we possess, the liquid gifts of happiness.
So we're in Bridport and we're recording this heritage trail about Bridport's boozy past, and we're in the town centre. And if you had come to Bridport, you might think this is a very decent pubby town. There are lots of pubs as you walk up and down the various streets, but that really is just like the tip of the iceberg, or maybe even the froth on a head of a pint of beer, because actually there's a much richer and varied history to Bridport's boozy past. I'm here with Emma Lutcraft and with Tegwyn Jones. They're from Bridport Museum, and they've just produced this wonderful little leaflet called Boozy Bridport. Now, Emma, this has been a bit of a bestseller for you, hasn't it?
It has. It was our Christmas bestseller, yeah. It's a great little thing to learn more about a boozy past of Bridport.
Who doesn't want to know about pubs? It's absolutely a wonderful thing. If you're not in a pub, you want to be talking about a pub. So we're going to talk about that for now. And really, although there was that, you know, sense of there's quite a lot of pubs here now, there's actually been many, many more. Any idea what the peak number of pubs were and when that was?
Well, in the early 1900s, there was a change to the licensing laws, and that meant that the magistrates visited all 63 pubs and beer houses in the town. And they wanted to assess the sanitation and the accommodation, and that did lead to quite a few closures. But yeah, it turned out there was fewer than 100 people per licensed premises, which is quite a few pubs per person.
That's a really good rate. For every 100 people, there was a pub in Bridport.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. And so there's this change around 1903 when some of the pubs were gone, but we can still trace some of those pubs, can't we? This leaflet sort of talks about those that are there and which parts of the town where they are.
Absolutely. The ghost pubs of Bridport.
That's a great phrase. And I think we're maybe going to visit a few of those ghost pubs and give you an idea of where they are and perhaps a couple of the stories behind them. So we're going to start here on South Street, where we're all gathered together. And that was a particularly rich pickings, wasn't it, South Street?
Yes, it was. Well, the thing is that from roughly here, where we are now in the museum, right the way down South Street to the bridge, there were loads and loads and loads of pubs with great names. And also, there were lots of beer houses. And there are so many beer houses that we couldn't list them all because you just couldn't keep track of them. But there's some great names of pubs.
And give us a few of those names. Well, give us South Street names.
Well, some pubs that we knew existed in South Street, but we don't know where, were things like the Anchor and Cutlers, the Antelope, the Balaclava, the Garibaldi, and get this one, the Hit or Miss Inn. It just makes you wonder what's
going
on.
It sounds almost made up. Is that good? And you've got, in your lovely Boozy Bridport leaflet, you've got some of the dates, which you know when those pubs closed.
That's right.
Some of them you don't even know where. There's so many of these pubs in Bridport, we don't know when they were closed. We don't even know exactly where on South Street they were.
No, but the thing is that the booklet we've got is a live thing, and if we discover some information, perhaps anybody who hears the podcast or reads the leaflet knows about these things, we'd love to hear about them. Because a lot of these pubs, of course, closed before you had the Royal Mail, you know, before there's a postal service, which meant that all the houses were numbered up until that time, of course.
That makes sense.
So, you know.
We're at the top end of South Street now in Buckydoo Square. And, that's a name that's familiar to most people who've got even a passing acquaintance to Bridport. And wasn't there an idea that that is the name of a pub that it's
called? Yes, there are quite a few ideas about where the name Buckydoo sort of came from.
Indeed.
In fact, the town council did a referendum, I think it was in the 80s, as to what the place should be called. And they gave this as an option, Buckydoo, and everybody went nuts for it, of course.
Of course.
Well, who wouldn't? But actually, a lot of people say, well, Buckydoo comes from the Buck and Doe Inn. There was a pub around here. They said, look, one of these buildings that we can see across the road, perhaps, was the Buck and Doe. No, it wasn't that at all. Buckydoo comes from the word Bucardo, because that little lane we can see behind us there, between the Greyhound and the Town Hall, that was Bucardo Lane.
Uh-huh.
And a Bucardo is a Portuguese jail. And there was a theory that it smelt like a gents urinal, which that lane might have done. I don't know. I'm sure that that wasn't the case. But it is a case, I'm sure.
You can imagine people coming out of some of the pubs, indeed. Even if not the Buck and Doe would.
And there weren't the public loos there were then that there are now. But
that's a great.
It's not like that now, of course.
No, but I mean, just looking at the numbers on South Street, so 5, 13, 37, 53, 61, 85, 99, these are all the addresses of pubs, so it would have been hard not to...
Well, that's right, and there's even today, if you look up as you go down that street, and you can see, well, in fact, you can see from here, if you look up there up on the left, you see the Golden Cross keys that are hanging out of there. That obviously was the Cross Keys Inn.
Ah, okay. And they're still visible right now.
Yeah. Well, that's right. You can see them there. So that was quite an interesting pub because behind that was the slaughterhouse, which served the Shambles, which is where the town hall is now, which is obviously where the butchers were. Mm-hmm. And people used to carry the carcasses through the pub. I can't imagine what that was like when you're sat in there having a quiet beer. But it was, that's what they say used to happen.
And I suppose there's a lot of trades, really, Emma, isn't there? I suppose we've got the fishing, and we've got the sort of, we've mentioned the butchers and people coming to market town. Is that why there were so many pubs?
Bridport was an industrial town, and it's a rural town. It's an isolated town, and everyone needs leisure time. And unfortunately, you know, this was a way to have leisure time to relax.
Of course, in Bridport,
absolutely.
So still going on, and been doing so for ages. Yeah. Great. Well, we're going to move on, I think, and find a different street. We've got the trail ahead of us. It's going to be a bit of a walking trail for us rather than a pub crawl.
But
who knows where we'll end up at the end. And we're going to find another place to talk to you. So we've moved a little off South Street towards the west on our heritage trail. And we're in the Rope Walks area of Bridport. And in fact, we can see the sign lit up for the Rope Maker's Arms, which is still existing. But there's quite a few pubs just in this spot here. And Tegwyn, there's a number of pubs that we can see and there's some that we can't see, isn't there?
Yeah, that's true. You can see the Hope and Anchor, which is down the bottom of the car park there. The Hope and Anchor was owned by a bloke who worked as a twine spinner. And he had a walk that was at the back of the pub. But unfortunately, when the pub got sold, that walk got built on by a developer. And so it's no longer there. But the Hope and Anchor was quite a lively place. And then opposite was the Phoenix, which was at number 28. And then there were, down St. Michael's Lane there, lots of beer houses, because obviously when the thirsty workers came out of the net factory, they had to have a beer.
So
that's all that was about.
So what is the difference, Emma, between a beer house and a pub? Is there kind of a way we can define them?
Well, beer houses were much more almost like someone's living room, and you'd go and help yourself to a pint of beer.
Right.
You'd have eagle-eyed landladies keeping an eye.
Of course.
But you had to remember, I mean, the rope industry was a big thing. So the whole family would work in rope. And it was a way to have an extra income as well. And obviously people needed a break from making ropes.
So
that's why it was another string to the family businesses, another way to make money.
And to make money where you have two jobs rather than one to rely on.
And, you know, if you've got your husband's outside spinning rope, you're inside keeping an eye on people helping themselves to your beer.
So we've moved just a little bit further down South Street. We're just about opposite the Woodman, which is a great community lively pub here in town. But there's lots of evidence in the names of pubs that would once have been here on South Street. There's an absolute plethora of names. Just, Tegwyn, give us a few examples of the names.
Well, the thing is that we know about these pubs, but we don't know where in South Street they were, because they were there before the houses were not numbered. So we've got things like the Anchor and Cutlers, the Antelope, the Balaclava Inn. Now, that could have been near Balaclava Court. The Garibaldi, the Hit and Miss, the Punch Bowl, the Shoeing Smith's Arms, which is a bit of a mouthful after you come out of the pub.
It's hard to say that at the best of times, never mind after a pint. But there's also quite a few names that relate to kind of the nautical history of Bridport, isn't there?
Yes.
You've got a theory that South Street is a particular hotspot
for
that.
Well, yeah, that's right, because as you go down sort of South Street, there's lots of things that relate to the sea. Things like the Shipwright's Arms and the Neptune Inn and the Sailor's Home Inn, the Fisherman's Arms. They tend to relate to the sea because I guess this is the road to the sea, whereas the pubs in East Street and West Street related to travel because that's where the coach route was.
That's lovely. So, yeah, I suppose we're on that direction down towards the sea. Yeah. Even things like the Volunteer Inn, which would have had this lovely connection with, you know, people being forced to go off to sea.
Yeah, well, that's right.
And we're opposite a pub, just a little bit past the Woodman. We're opposite a pub with a sign still visible. And what pub are we looking at here?
Just as you look up there, you see those lovely old tiles called the Five Bells Inn. I was intrigued by this because I thought, oh, well, it must be because the church has got five bells. No, there are actually eight bells in the pub across the road here. And I did a bit of thinking about it. Five bells on a ship means either the 2:30 p.m. watch or the 10:30 p.m. watch. Now, to you and me, that might be closing time from years gone by.
For sure, yeah.
So, why would a pub have a sign up which related to closing time? It's odd, isn't it?
It is a bit odd, but again, it's that maritime path that is coming through in the South Street. And it's great that we can still look up and see. There's a couple of pieces missing of the towers. But
it's a shame that they're beginning to drop off now, but you can still see enough of them to know it was a pub. And just the shape of the building. A lot of the pubs you can recognise almost by the shape of them. And you can see that lovely archway that goes through.
For the horse and carts?
And there were coaching inns as well, a lot of these things where you'd leave your horse there and stay overnight. So that's the way people used to do it.
Absolutely.
It was the travel lodge of its day.
Oh, I guess they were, and lots of them as well, as we are finding out. But we're going to find some more. We're going to move on. So we've now moved on to North Street, which is perhaps a little less known than East and South and West. But here we are outside a pub, or a former pub, I should say, right in the corner, a beautiful little building. So what pub was this, Emma?
Well, it was called the Mason's Arms, but because of the size, it was known as the Mouse. And it's well known because it's got an indoor and an outdoor. And so you had time, you had warning that you had to leave through the other door before Angry Family turned up to kick you out.
If there was the missus asking where you are, you had time to leave from one of the two doors. And it looks wonderful, doesn't it? It's a great old-fashioned brick building with these two doors on different streets. So you can imagine
and
a scuttling.
And you can see it is small. You can see why it was known as the Mouse.
Yeah,
it
must have been a tiny little pub. And this was once a Palmer's pub, I believe.
Yes, it was.
And like a lot of the Palmer's pubs, they would have signs painted by the wonderful George Biles.
What about
this sign here?
Well, obviously it was the Mason's Arm, but he managed to get a little mouse in there.
But the Market House wasn't always called that either, was it? What was the Market House called in the past?
No, the Market House was, it had a few different names over its life, like a lot of them. It began off as a Three Boar's Head. Then it was the Royal Oak. And then they accommodated Dewhurst Butchers next door. And it was the Royal Oak. It became the Market House.
And if we were to turn right, having come down West Street here, we'd be on to North Allington. And something that intrigued me about the Boozy Bridport pamphlet was this idea of the ghost pub or the most haunted pub in Bridport. What was that?
Well, it was amazingly haunted. In fact, you could almost not believe it. It was so haunted.
Okay.
There's a chap at the bar called James Hodder, who was having a quiet pint after work one day. This other fellow came in and he'd left his gun by the door there because he'd been scaring crows off his land. A third person in the pub started to fiddle with the trigger cage because there was wire on it, and inadvertently gun went off and it killed James Hodder in the bar.
Oh my goodness me.
And ever since that, his ghost would haunt the bar. But he wasn't the only ghost in the pub, because there was also said to be two people at a table in the corner. One was dressed in khaki and one of the others was indistinct, and they had a ghostly beer. But that wasn't it.
There was more.
Upstairs, it gets more and more believable, this, doesn't it? Upstairs, there was said to be a ghost called the White Lady who would haunt you if, and this is very specific, if you'd been taken ill in the pub and the landlady had tucked you up in bed upstairs. How often would that happen?
Not very often, you would have thought. But well, it's wonderful to hear these stories. It's a rather ethereal end and a lovely end to our trail and to our walk around Bridport. We've heard about the ghost pubs of Bridport, and we've also heard about pubs with ghosts here in Bridport. There's lots to see as you walk around town. Do follow the trail, and there's a few pubs you can still pop into to get a pint, even though it's a fraction of what it once was. So thank you very much, Emma and Tegwin, and do please enjoy the trail.